Grace, peace, and mercy unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, this morning's message for Rural Gate Sunday, a Sunday dealing especially with prayer, is from John chapter 16, especially verse 23, often a very misunderstood verse. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Let us pray. O Heavenly Father, we give great thanks that we have such an intimate relationship with yourself, with the Son, and the Holy Spirit, that we can approach you on bended knee and know that you hear our prayers. We pray, Lord, that we may understand how we can better to pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. I've entitled the message, No Foolish Prayers. But I want to begin by asking you, or perhaps you can think in your mind, are these silly prayers? Maybe you've prayed them. You drive to the mall, especially certain times of the year, you scan the horizon and you see no parking space whatsoever. And I'm thinking especially of Yorkdale, and you're going in there and the lights are blinking, lot full, lot full, lot full. And you find words falling from your lips and you say, Lord Jesus, bless me. Bless me, Lord. May I find a parking space. Amen. Or you're driving. And imagine now, just a few days away, really, that the Pan American Games are in full swing. And your dashboard is blinking with the time there. You're late. You're late. You're late. Lord Jesus, bless me. Part all of the lanes of traffic. May I get there on time. Part them like the Red Sea. Something such like that. Or finally, you're kneeling at your campsite and you're down to the last match. Maybe you've been there. And you say, Lord Jesus, bless me. May this fire be lit by this one remaining match. Amen. But tell me, my friends, what shall we conclude when you find yourself still sitting in your car and circling the parking lot half an hour later? Or the lanes of traffic far from parting like the waters of the Red Sea, instead close in, and they close in further, and you feel like you're going to be crushed by the metal and choked by the fumes. What shall you conclude? And your last match flickers and dies and leaves you in the cold and the dark. Worse yet, what shall the unbeliever beside us conclude in hearing your prayers to the seemingly silent God? Were they all just foolish prayers? Was it that these prayers just weren't important enough to God? Were they lacking sentence and structure and poetry, so they would not be heard then? Or was our faith simply not strong enough? There's bound to be a televangelist that will tell you that your faith is just not strong enough. Some, after heeding God's invitation to pray, will find faith tested, asking themselves, shall I ever pray again? I tried it once. It didn't seem to work. Well, on this Rogate Sunday, we consider all such things concerning prayer. But as with all things, we must consider all things according to God's word. Not my expectations, O Lord, but your word. We first consider then the statement that Jesus makes. It's within the context of the upper room. It seems like we're never going to get out of that room because we've been there for the last couple weeks. But we remember that Jesus says these things, he teaches these things, but most importantly of all, he puts into practice all of these things that he teaches, including that on prayer. So while still in that upper room, and later on we might observe the Master at prayer, and as we do so, we see that one concern above all others trumps everything else as Jesus our Lord prays. Jesus is concerned with glory, and it's a specific kind of glory. To God be the glory. Jesus often prays from the perspective of humanity and the limitations of our humanity. He prays as we pray, not seeing every detail nor knowing every future. Because we heard him earlier in Holy Week, just days before entering the upper room, saying things like, concerning that day or hour, meaning the second coming, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven nor the Son, but the Father only. If you don't believe me, you can take a look in Matthew chapter 24. Truly, this is a mystery to us to understand how it is that our Lord, being truly human but also truly God, could not know. But this is the mystery of the two natures of Christ. God in flesh is made manifest. So when our Lord is praying from the perspective of human limitations, the praying with the caveat, to God be the glory, and also may God's will be done, is the only reasonable way to pray. It is to be our way of praying. Whatever we are praying for, if you're not verbalizing it, you need to at least be thinking it. Undergirding all prayer that you have ought to be, but Lord, thy will be done. Jesus taught us how to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. This and thy will be done, especially. Thy will be done. This is the way in which Jesus prays. So then, whilst in the Garden of Gethsemane, the beginning of his passion, wrestling with all the powers of hell, his prayers in his humanity are for deliverance, as you might expect. Our Lord had human flesh. He had to have it to understand us. He had to have it in order to redeem us. And so in this flesh, what does our Lord pray? He says, Father, if it be your will, take this cup, meaning the cup of suffering, take this cup of suffering from me. But the greater prayer, which must be part of all our prayers, is emphasized, but not my will, but yours be done. To God be the glory. God the Father would not satisfy the desires of even his Son's flesh. The flesh is weak, and the flesh must be subdued by a higher calling. And that calling is in all things may the will of God be done, and in all things to God be the glory. And indeed, the glories of the cross would come. What a magnificent passion that came, and Jesus was praying, "Thy will be done." What a magnificent fortitude in carrying his cross. What a powerful love came when he's praying, "Thy will be done." Because in his death, the earth was shaken. The sky had darkened, and the curtain in the temple was torn in two, and God and humanity were reconciled. Thy will be done. Praise be to God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, that the concerns of the flesh, even the Son's flesh, were not catered to, because in all things, to God be the glory. So likewise, in our life, we ought to remember to pray thus. Yes, pray as Christ prayed. You can't help yourself. Lord, God, Heavenly Father, take this suffering from me. Take it from me, Father. Yes, even so little a cup it is, but may your will be done. So you didn't get a parking spot. You didn't have the lanes of traffic part like the waters of the Red Sea. Or your match fizzled out, leaving you cold and in the dark at that campground. Well, my friends, if you were praying also, "Your will be done," have you not considered the possibility that perhaps some greater unseen and even unknowable purpose of God is fulfilled in your seemingly futile situation of circling that parking lot, or sitting yet another half hour in traffic, or in the cold and dark inhaling the last fumes of a smoking match? Because perhaps that extra time circling in the lot afforded you the opportunity to offer up more prayers for the salvation of another dear soul. Or perhaps God would work through such a prayer to tip the balance in another's spiritual life. The possibilities, of course, are endless. Perhaps the delay in traffic prevented you from being involved in a crash further on up the road. Or perhaps in the cold and darkness, you were drawn through that adversity towards the true light, which is Christ. Oh, how mysterious are the ways of the Lord. And so what if the unbeliever in your car somehow heard you pray? What if the camper next to you saw your prayers go up in smoke with no fire? What happens then? Perhaps they would have also have heard you say, "May God's will be done," and witness the Holy Spirit create therein a patient Christian who does not curse his God in the face of suffering, or curse the darkness and cold, but rather that unbeliever sees a Christian who picks up whatever cross God lays in his path, little crosses and big crosses given in this life, live something called fortitude and dignity, trusting that his prayers were indeed heard, but perhaps not to be answered in the way that he would have liked. Isn't that the way? Our prayers are always heard when we're praying in the name of Jesus. And God always gives an answer, but he doesn't always give an answer that we like. Sometimes he says, "Wait." Sometimes he says, patience. Sometimes he says, this is a time of suffering. But in all these things, may my name be the glory. We know how it worked out with Jesus. He took up his cross and he did not curse his enemies, but rather he forgave them. He took his nails and yet he did not curse them. And all the people beat their breasts and they cried aloud and they saw strength in weakness and they marveled. And in the suffering servant, they had seen God. And the centurion at the foot of the cross was so inspired by it all that he made his great confession of faith. Truly, this is the Son of God. Well, today is Rogate Sunday. We contemplate how we might ask of the Lord. He will not fail to hear our prayers. But do not be afraid of his answer. Don't leap to false conclusions about why it's not working out as you expect it to work out, why he's not doing your bidding like some genie in a lamp. If he takes your suffering away, rejoice. But if he leaves you in suffering, still rejoice. What wonders and meaning and divine purposes can the Lord work through such things? He worked through such wondrous things in the case of his Son, and he promises to work such things through us also. May you be led to pray this day, even as we will soon do in our congregational prayers to follow. In his name, we offer up the prayers. Thy will be done. Amen. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ keep us in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen.